back to the 20-Sided Podcast. My name is Brian Flaherty, and as ever, I'm your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined once again by our three fabulous players. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
We've got Chinook DeSara.
A-A-A.
We've got Abby Hepworth.
A-A-A.
And we've got Noah Gebstad.
A-A-A.
And everybody on the count of three. One, two, three.
A-A-A.
It was great. We all loved it. We all had a good time. No one's angry.
It was terrible.
But Chinook, I got you first. You got to dictate everyone else's things. You controlled everyone's lives for 10 seconds.
I totally panicked. I didn't know what I was going to do. It was, I freaked out. I totally freaked out. Part of me also wanted to be like, shout out to my boy, Joseph Cocchiara, who gives Abby coffee in the mornings.
Yes. Well, I mean, I pay for
shout
it.
Shout out, Joseph.
Right. He pays for it.
Wait, I missed this. Y'all go to the same coffee shop?
Oh my God. So this morning, I said this in our group chat.
Yes.
Yes, I went to the coffee shop and I just like offhandedly was saying like, oh, I'm recording a podcast later. And he was like, what is the topic of it? And I said, Dungeons and Dragons. And he was like, oh, that's so cool. What's it called? And I said it. And he was like, why does that sound so familiar? And then he paused and I was like preparing to be like, maybe you've been served an ad for it or something, if this is something you like. And he's like, do you know a Chinook? And I was like, yes, we're recording later today.
You know, I think if you were really looking for the joke, you should have gone, I know a lot of Chinooks.
I know which a lot of Chinooks. Can you
last
I actually know 6 or 7 Chinooks. Can you clarify which one you know?
I'm extremely tied Quidditch into one. The Sri Lankan
He knows
community.
The Quidditch.
Yes. But yeah, so then I've been like giddy about it since I got back, and I think it's hilarious in such a small world, and very cool. And now I feel self-conscious about,
no, we're famous.
All my coffee guys listen.
Joe, if you're listening, this episode's for you.
Oh man.
You guys ready to play some D&D?
Yeah, we're dedicating this episode.
Hell yeah.
This episode to the guys at Birch Coffee.
Let's go.
Sponsored by Birch.
Sponsored by Birch.
Give us free coffee.
No.
One free coffee. One small black coffee. We're not asking for a lot. One small black coffee. That seems
already
totally
did the
doable.
Ad.
Oh,
we already did the ad. We were talking about Birch Coffee for a goddamn minute. We want $2.25 worth of payment. That's a rounding error for one day at a store. Come on. You guys ready to play some D&D?
Yeah.
Here we go. Last time on Prisoners of the Static. With Don Taraxa now under the thrall of the number 2 pocket watch, you began to fight. The dexterous sunflower proved to be a worthy adversary as he fought off the three of you, as well as Yaksha's bears, Sven and Gordon. He continued to plead with Yaksha all the while to come with him to be calibrated, claiming that Yaksha posed a great danger to the village and even to the world beyond. Turning then to Natasha, he petitioned her to speak on behalf of her crew as its captain, agreeing to answer their questions once her crew was at equilibrium. After a moment's hesitation, Natasha agreed. You all followed number two, knee Don Taraxa, to his office. Is that how you do it? Is that how you say it when someone's divorced? Knee?
I think it's knee.
N-E-E with a pot, nay. You followed number two, knee Don Taraxa, to his office in Town Hall, filled with a complex surveillance system. In the office, Yaksha let slip that someone else in the crew might have been suffering nightmares as well, and number two insisted that Boris be calibrated as well before he was made to answer any questions. After some shenanigans, Sven and Gordon retrieved Boris, brought him back, and both he and Yaksha drank a measure of pure joy to help them to calibrate. However, Boris, having been subjected to the dread for longer, required an additional measure to alleviate the imbalance. With your end of the bargain complete, number two finally answered some of your questions. He explained that the bottling factory is a facility used to harness and contain the emotional energy of the material plane. The explosion was caused by an imbalance within the village from the excess of dread found in Yaksha and Boris. When questioned about Mirren, number two revealed that Mirren was imprisoned for his reckless behavior in trying to take someone or something who was fully indoctrinated into the village outside the bounds of the static. His actions and his experiments within the village had terrible ripple effects in the material plane and resulted in the destruction of the ancient high auditorium of Cira over 700 years ago and the catastrophic event known as the Cacophony. After these revelations, your situation began to come into sharper focus. Your time is limited, your actions will have consequences, and if you wait too long, you may be trapped here forever. And though Number Two was explicit in his command that Mirren must remain imprisoned, Yaksha realized that without Mirren's help, the orb containing his mother's soul would never be opened, and their mission to further secure the Titanic prisons would never be completed. Just as Number Two agreed to allow you to speak with Mirren under his strict supervision, Number Ten burst into the chamber to tell Number Two that something had escaped from the bottling factory. As Number Two rushed to the factory, he turned to you and asked you who amongst your crew was not calibrated, who else were you protecting, and you realized, while no one else in your crew was having nightmares, you had recently read that someone else had. You heard a terrifying wail pierce the sky.
You're so dramatic. You are so dramatic.
What a drama queen.
You know, there's some terrifying whales that appear in the sky. And, you know, I think they're the ones being dramatic. I think I'm just accurately representing how terrifying they are. You know, I think I did a great job. Here we go. There's four dragons you have to face now. Four dragons. And you're all dead. Okay.
And we're dead. And now it's on to season three.
You guys begin to book it following Don Taraxa towards the bottling factory nearby. As you guys run, Yaksha, Sven, and Gordon, the limits of their spell wears off, and you see them run up to you, both lick you on either side of the face, and then out of existence.
No. I love you, boys.
We love you too, Yaksha.
Your face is now just fully drenched.
Amazing.
How refreshing.
So refreshing. As you guys run towards the bottling factory, Don Taraxa running as fast as he can, Boris with you, Number 10 stayed behind. The previous Number 2 remained behind as well, unless you guys want to physically drag him over here. You guys run towards the bottling factory, and as you turn a corner, you see this large brick building with like large smokestacks, very like English factory looking. So like red brick, large pane glass windows all around, two or three stories high, lots of smoke coming out of the top. And you see, as Number Two gets close, he reaches over, clicks the pocket watch, and you see all around this building wisps of black tendrils, like the ones that were emanating from Yaksha and emanating from Boris. But these are two, three, four times as thick and as viscous, coming off looking less like a gas and more like a liquid streaming up into the sky.
It is worse than... Who amongst you is not calibrated?
Just really quick, Yaksha absolutely dragged the former Number Two all the way with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
The former Number Two is like, okay, okay. He was riding on Sven, and then all of a sudden Sven pops out. You've like grabbed this dwarf. You like pop him on your shoulders. He turns to you, Yaksha, with the former Number Two on your head. He's got like his hands just like resting on your horns. He's like holding on. Don Trax turns around.
Who else are you hiding from me? We must calibrate the village. Have I not made it clear how exactly difficult and dangerous this is for the material plane beyond?
From the last session, he basically was saying that if things are not calibrated, there's the potential for like a second cacophony or something of that scale. See, is the danger?
Mirren's recklessness of disregarding this imbalance and disregarding things that were like a part of the static,
mm-hmm.
and like trying to take them out or like doing too much within the static itself. He is essentially fucking with it's like playing around in someone's internal organs. You can only do so much before something bad happens. He's messing with a fabric of magic in the world by disregarding the equilibrium and the stasis of that fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It can have ripple effects beyond.
Okay. I'm trying to gauge whether Natasha, like whether she would prioritize protecting 22 or understanding the like grand scale of the consequences and not wanting there to be like a second cacophony, basically.
I think at this point you guys understand that there's still a lot that you don't know about what kind of consequences your actions will have in here. It seems like from what number two is telling you, he might not be fully aware of what the one-to-one exchange is.
But doesn't want to find out.
Doesn't want to find out, has been instructed to make sure no one finds out, essentially. Instructed to make sure to prevent it. And you have seen Mirren fucking around and trying to remove one thing from the static that was indoctrinated caused one of the biggest cataclysms of known history.
Well, shit. Can we see in the factory what made that noise?
Everyone go ahead and roll me a perception check as you guys run up towards the factory.
14.
27.
Jesus. 16. Holy shit.
The, the dice are glad to be back. The dice are glad to be back.
Those are some good, man.
Some happy had, dice.
They're trying to impress you.
They've had some rest. Some respite.
Very well rested dice.
With a 27. Jesus. You look,
I win the game.
You win the game. You perceive all.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, yeah. Shout out to Birch Coffee.
Yeah, you perceive so well, you just see the ending of the campaign. We jump ahead, and we're there.
I transcend.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Tune in for season 3. 27 perception check. You look ahead at this factory, and you see these black wisps trailing off towards the sky, and you look in through these massive pane windows. What the others see are these momentarily flashes of things moving quickly, shadows flashing across these windows. You look a little closer and you see these almost wraith-like figures, 3-4 of them, seeming to be flying around on like the second story of this area. And as you look inside, you recognize that these things aren't flying around randomly. I think Natasha and Yaksha, you see shadows moving. They just seem to be moving back and forth among these large bay windows. Sienni, you look and you see that they are circling something. And as you look a little closer, you look down and with anything less than like a 27, you'd probably miss it because this diminutive person would have been hidden behind things. But you see the distinctive kind of like coiffed hair of number 22. And you see these things circling and seeming to harry him. With a 27, you know that he is trying to get away from these things. He's not like, this is not under his control. He is being attacked.
Oh, damn. And do I know, do I have like previous knowledge or can I kind of place what these tendrils are? These wispy.
With a 27, you have definitely never seen anything like this. If anything, it appears like wraith-like or it appears, you know, paranormal in a sense. And you've had maybe a bit of experience with some of that. But this is unlike anything you've seen. But the thing that catches your eye is that the color of these wraiths is the exact same color as this smoke that was emanating from Yaksha and was emanating from Boris. Number two is looking at Natasha.
Who are you protecting? You must understand, you don't know enough. I don't know enough. All I know is I must keep this village calibrated. Who are you protecting? Because let me tell you, you're not protecting them.
There is another, but we do not know where they are.
Then I think it's time to find them. Who is this other?
Well, just to be clear, it's not part of our crew. It's just some random guy you guys didn't do properly. This is not our fault. This is your fault.
This is true. Yes, this is not us.
To piggyback off of Yaksha and Natasha, this seems like a real
We can point fingers later. For now, we must find.
Oh, I'm pointing fingers now.
Just in case you never get to that part, it's your fault.
I want it on record before we even get to that point, because cooler heads will prevail.
Who is
number
this
10, can you write this down, please?
Can we
writing it down? Number 10. He just yells back number 10 and is writing down the words. She's running behind the clipboard. Gotcha, number two. I'm getting it all. Running in her pencil skirt stiletto heels on cobblestone and still writing in perfect penmanship.
You know, I don't love her, but she's an impressive gal.
She is a lot of skills.
Yeah, she's not great, but she's really good at what she does.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
I guess Natasha sort of looks back and says, I believe it is number 22.
Yeah, I can confirm. I saw a little glimpse of him behind all that nonsense in there.
Let's go then, gee. And it charges towards the bottling factory. Finger.
Why do we have to go? Why am I risking my life?
Again, it feels like a very, we crash landed here. Lest we forget.
I appreciate that, but we are all in this together at this point. You see, four fear rates? We are going to have to need, this is going to need a teamwork effort here.
This guy tried to kill us like 20 minutes ago. Or yeah, whatever.
This is an ever-evolving situation, you understand.
Natasha's going to, like, gather the crew up for a quick second and be like, there's the one.
If you want to gather the crew, something is going to happen to number 22. He is being actively attacked.
All right,
let's go get him. Let's go get number 22. Yaksha shoots a wraith. Yaksha's shooting a wraith.
Yeah, Natasha's just going to be like, I am captain of this ship and I want questions answered. We go to him. And then she's just going to sprint after, I guess, Dodd Taraxa into the factory.
Is everyone following inside?
Yeah.
And Yaksha, are you?
It was so hard if you guys were like, nah.
Nah.
We're gonna go back to the bar.
Yaksha, are you taking the former number 2?
Oh, absolutely I am.
Okay. He's just holding on to your horns. Just, this is almost as fun as the bears.
Can Boris just like give him one of his paring knives so that he has some kind of weapon? Actually, he might be magical. We don't know. We don't know anything about the former number 2.
Yeah, if you want number 2 to have a paring knife while riding on top of Yaksha's head, you can certainly do that.
No, don't give him a fucking, Boris, don't give him a paring knife. Don't do that.
But Yaksha, Natasha's, okay, sorry.
No.
And Boris just flies ahead of you guys.
The artist formerly known as number 2 better be useful.
mechanically, this guy is still like pretty fucked up. He's been like under the thrall of something for a while.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to roll some like checks for him to see if he can like come to, essentially.
Okay.
So for now, he's a non-combatant. He may be able to become a combatant.
I believe in him.
You guys burst into these massive double doors that have been kind of like blown open by the strength of whatever thing is happening inside here. As you burst into this area, you see the bottling factory in its full glory. You see a 3-story high building. The central area of it is open air. It's like 3 stories high with, so there are like balconies on the second floor, balconies on the third floor, stairwells leading up to either side. And throughout this entire area are hundreds, if not thousands, of glass tubes, like beakers and things used to titrate, to brew. This is like a crazy glasswork menagerie, all used to brew these various draughts of joy, of happiness, of giggles, of sadness, of whatever. All the things that you found in 808's bar. And you see massive like tankards being used to fill them. Some of them large. You see happy and giggles and stuff are labeled on these massive tankards. And then much smaller ones are things like joy is smaller. You see hope is smaller. And you see back behind a wall chained up and behind like a large counter is a thing marked dread. Essentially, there are like pipes leading into a safe, essentially, that is locked away. In the center of this room, you see number 22 on the ground. You see his eyes sunken and hollowed out the same way that you saw Boris's when he was under the effects of the nightmares and of the dread. And you see these wraiths coming around, flying around him and begin to dive towards him. You see him look up and goes, what? Please, help! I need everyone to roll initiative.
Woohoo!
No!
Damn it.
Oh my god. I got a nat 20.
Damn.
But I also get to roll with advantage. If I'd gotten 2 nat 20s, do I just win the combat?
Sure. What'd you get, Sandy?
I got a nat 22.
Ah!
Jesus. Yaksha, what'd you get?
14. Now I feel left out.
Is 14 your total or what you rolled?
Is my total.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So mine is 22. Like with the modifier. Cool. Oh, my God.
I got a dwarf slowing me down.
First up is Natasha.
Cool. Okay. So for first
bonus action, like, rage.
You guys see her hair stand on end. full bush cat. Babush cat.
Babush cat!
Babush cat!
Babush cat. Oh, little babush cat.
I become big babush cat. Scary babush cat.
Very scary. And then as you look, you see so number 22 is kind of like huddled over in the middle of the floor, surrounded by all this glasswork stuff above you in this like open air above you. Mm-hmm. About one floor of it, like so like 10 feet, 12 feet high is open air. After that, it becomes like a mess of glasswork and shit that will become incredibly difficult to move through, even if you are like flying or climbing through it, just so you know.
Okay.
So essentially above 10 feet, it's like a jungle gym. Of glass. Nice. Around you on either side, it's maybe like 100 feet by 100 feet. It's like 100 foot square.
Uh-huh.
And on the outside of that area, on second and third floor, there is a 10 foot wide balcony going around the whole side.
Cool.
And there are stairwells on each of the four walls, essentially.
So how far away am I from 22 at the moment?
He's in the center of the floor. You guys just burst in. So you are 50 feet away.
Okay.
And you see these four things are like diving down towards him.
Okay. I am going to use my movement to go 40 feet. Oh, and I have to roll my wild magic. So I'm going to actually, can I roll my wild magic first just to see?
Yeah.
Just to see what happens. That's a 2.
You feel a familiar feeling rise up within you as you see your bushy fur begins to spark all around. You feel your form begin to flicker in and out of existence momentarily. You immediately teleport 30 feet to any unoccupied space you see. And until your rage ends, you can use this effect again as a bonus action to essentially cast Misty Step.
Ah, sweet. Okay, so I teleport right now.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm amazing. This is what I was hoping would happen, is that I would get some kind of bonus movement. So I'm going to go 30 feet closer to 22, and then I'm going to use my movement to like get to him.
Yeah, you get right to him, standing over top of him. As you look down at him, you see his eyes are sunken even deeper than Boris's. The bags under his eyes are deep and dark, and you see the wisps of black smoke coming off of him are deeper and thicker than what Boris or Yaksha had experienced. Not only that, you see some effect has happened from these wraiths that are currently encircling him. You see him attempt to look up towards some of the wraiths, and you recognize he is under the frightened condition.
Okay. Natasha wants to sort of use her beef to stand over him as best she can, and then she's going to just start swinging. I'm going to use my warhammer two-handed to just attack a wraith that's like swooping down, whatever the closest one is.
There's one of them that's right there, and the other three are kind of like a little further up coming down.
Cool.
Go ahead and make an attack.
13 plus 8 is 21.
Absolutely hits.
Hell yeah.
And that's a 16 plus 8. So what is that, 24?
Both hit.
Amazing. Okay, so the first one is 9 points of damage.
I have a question for you. Is your weapon in any way magical?
Oh. No, I don't think any of my weapons are magical. Shit.
You hit, go ahead and roll damage for both of them.
All right, so the first one was 9.
Okay.
And then the second one is 14.
It's at 23. You hit this thing and you feel it pass through. It finds some purchase, but you're passing through what is essentially a specter, a figment. It takes half damage.
No.
Fork.
God,
so what is that,
man.
11?
11, or would it be 12?
That's rounded down.
Sure it is.
Everything in D&D is rounded down.
Do you know, it's a thing where it's like when it benefits me, I'm like, oh, thank God. And then with this, I'm like, are you sure it doesn't round up?
Are you sure it rounds down? go ahead and roll me a insight check, or rather an insight or an arcana check.
An 18.
As you feel this flickering static coursing through your fur and through your veins from this wild magic innate within you, you feel flickers of possibility of what that wild magic could do. You feel there is a chance that some form of your wild magic might be able to imbue you with some kind of magical weapon.
Related to that?
Mm-hmm.
Would my claws be considered a magical weapon right now?
No, they would not. But I like the ask. The ask is fun.
It would have been really cool.
You know what?
I don't do that much damage with them, but if they're going to do more damage than the Warhammer, that would have been a fun twist.
I'll let you roll an Arcana check to see if you... Here's what I'll do. If you beat a 20, 20 Arcana...
Okay.
You can essentially choose one of the options of your wild magic table.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll let you do that. I won't let you do that every time. I'll let you do that this one time.
Well, my Arcana is plus zero, so I have to roll an at 20.
Hell yeah.
So it'd be totally, honoring
totally
the
worth
20.
It if you get it.
Yeah, all right, ready?
Go for it.
5.
Okay, no, you're unable to. But you still can teleport at will, so, you know, not too bad.
Not the worst. Yeah. All right, cool.
You look down and see number 22 cowering beneath you, looks up to you, and seeing you, the last time you guys interacted, he was frightened of you so much that you were granted advantage on all intimidation checks. Seeing you is not helpful.
Cool.
He looks up. Stop. Please don't hurt me.
I am not going to hurt you, 22. I told you I would be seeing you.
You see number 2 go, "Hey, that is my line." Anything else you want to do?
I think that's all I can do for the moment. Yeah, I just basically want to position myself so that if any wraiths come swinging down, that they pretty much have to come between to through me to get to 22. I mean, I just want to kind of position myself to protect him. Yeah. Like, totally. You know, they can swoop behind me, I guess. But
Sienny, that is your turn.
Ooh, can I wild shape into a giant bird that can fight them in the air?
Yeah, you can wild shape into a giant bird.
Yeah.
Is there a really scary bird that I could...
Like a vulture?
Yeah, something just like a nasty...
Like a big bird.
Nasty hawk. I'm currently Googling angriest birds of prey.
I just Googled scary birds. Oh, a condor. You could be a condor.
Ooh,
the national bird of Ecuador.
How do you really know that?
Paula's from Ecuador. My father's from Ecuador.
That's very cool.
I don't know. Even still, that's obscure knowledge.
Yeah.
It's on their flag. Uncultured swines.
Okay. You know what? Uncultured swine. I take it back. I was wrong.
Come now, Brian.
Yeah, the California condor looks mean as hell. It looks like Professor Snape.
Snape was a bird.
California condors are capable of virgin birth.
Whoa, that is terrifying. Oh, they're cool looking.
I love the pivot
looking
we're doing to a bird watching podcast.
Oh my God, man, they're so cool looking.
Yeah, I think if I can, they're goth as hell.
They're funky. I dig it. I like their like weird black collar.
Little, like mane and yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like them.
The Indian condor has a very headmaster vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. The white
just
collar.
Like very boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Gebstadt, step into my office.
Like run by a bunch of nuns.
Yeah.
Mean nuns. In the show notes, can you put a link to like a bird sanctuary page giving tons of information about California condors?
Yeah, we'll put a link. We'll put a link in the show notes to all you need to know about California condors. Sienny, you look across the way, you see Natasha vanish out of existence, begin to attack one of these things. You see them flying around in this area, and you see these things are very likely to stay airborne. And you transform yourself into a California condor. Massive fucking bird wingspan. What do you do?
I'm going to attack one of them with my beak and then one with my talons.
Are you flying for the same one that Natasha was hitting, or are you flying for some of the ones up in the air?
I'll do one, the same one Natasha was hitting, and then one, because it says I can do a multi-attack.
Yep.
So yeah, I'll do the one that Natasha was hitting, and then whichever one's closest after that, I'll attack my talons.
And I will say, just so you're fully aware of the stat block, the California Condor has an aspect called pack tactics. So if there is one of your allies within 5 feet of a creature you're attacking, you get advantage on the attacks. So right now that would only go for the one that she is currently attacking. The other two are like 10 feet in the air.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and roll some attacks.
No, that kind of didn't help either. 10.
10 just misses. Your talons scrape these things and you essentially hit the like the gaseous material rather than something physical.
Damn it. All right. And then I'll attack the talons for the one that's not near. 14.
14 hits.
Ooh. Ooh. 11.
Okay, you hit it for 11 damage, halved to 5. And you see this thing. As you scrape near it, you come face to face with one of these things, and you begin to see flashes of terrifying images. Nothing that like is connecting with you, but you see this thing as it is almost searching for something that will connect with you.
Ooh.
You see this thing like its non-existent eyes are peering into you and trying to ascertain your fears.
Oh, God.
Is there anything else you want to do with your turn?
No, I think that's it for now.
It is the Fear Wraith's turn. You see these four things. The one that Sienny just attacked is going to look at Sienny. You see its face begin to trying to find one of your fears. I need you to go ahead and roll a wisdom saving throw. DC 13.
Ooh.
Actually, it's each undead creature within 60 feet of the ghost that can see it. I'll say for this purpose is Natasha, because it's right above you. You don't necessarily see it. But Yaksha and number two and number six and the former number two are also going to. And Gilly will as well. And Boris.
And Boris. Bullshit. We got a whole crew.
Can I roll for the former number two?
Yeah, you can roll for your number two. Yeah. I think it's a plus 4 to wisdom.
Cool. Sick. I rolled a nat 20 for myself.
Yeah, Yaksha! Hell yeah, hell yeah.
And then a 17 for...
For your number two. I'm going to roll for the current number two, Dontraxa. Succeeds for Gilly. Succeeds for Boris. Succeeds. And...
Oh, thank goodness, Boris.
Sienny, what did you roll?
23.
Hell yeah. You guys stare into this face momentarily, and it is just cycling through trying to find this thing. From that ghost, you are now immune to this effect for 24 hours.
Ah, yay.
Aha.
That's all that specter is going to do. The one that is attacking Natasha. Natasha, you look at this thing as you slash at it twice, finding purchase, and it continues flying directly forward, smashing into your chest, attempting to possess you.
Oh my God.
No.
I need you to roll a charisma saving throw, DC 13.
Charisma's my worst. Oh man, all right. What was it?
DC 13.
I rolled a 13, but I have minus 2. So that's an 11.
All of a sudden you feel a deep cold hit your chest. You guys look and you see Natasha's body stiffen, spasm momentarily. Natasha, you feel yourself losing control of your limbs.
Oh my God.
And you feel a deep, unsettling sense of fear inside you. As the rest of you look on, you see tendrils of dread begin to rise. Natasha, I need you to roll your fear dice twice.
The 12?
That's a success. You just don't want to roll a 1.
Don't say that out loud. No, it's going to happen. And an 11, thank God.
Okay.
Feels on brand for her.
Feels on brand.
She's possessed and does not care.
Natasha's like, I mean, you know, yesterday I was stoned, now I am possessed. It's just another day being captain of ship.
Natasha once again is losing control of her body, but steals her mind. But you begin to see flashes of terrifying images, almost like clouding your vision. You're still conscious, you still have awareness, but you are fully under control, under the control of this wraith.
Oh my God.
But you begin to see reality in front of you begin to flicker a little bit as faces of friends and objects in the distance begin to flicker, almost trying to pin down a fear of yours, trying to get a better hold of you by controlling you through your fears.
How can I break the possession? Like, do I get to roll each turn or?
You do not get to roll each turn. I'll tell you guys right now, there are some spells that definitely dispel this thing. I'm going to kind of leave it up to you guys to figure out how you want to get rid of this thing. But I'll say, Sienny, from you, with a 27 perception, like you are aware of what these types of like wraiths usually do. Upon possession, they can only be extricated with certain types of magic, like dispel good and evil type spells. Greater restoration might be a possibility. Or if the wraith chooses to leave, or if the body is possessing, drops to zero.
Good luck getting Natasha to zero. She is beef.
This
is not option.
The other two wraiths are going to fly down. One of them is going to slam into number 22 and attempt to possess him as well. DC 13, number 22.
Would being possessed be considered taking damage? Or, oh, wait, actually, as a reaction, unstable backlash. If I fail a saving throw while raging, I can roll my wild magic again.
Yeah, you can roll your wild magic surge.
But this will benefit the wraith.
That's the chance you take. Right now, it can teleport 30 feet. So,
you know. Oh, no.
Arg. I'm worried because some of the, I don't actually remember what most of them are, but some of them like increase its AC and whatever. I'm going to keep it as is. Better. What's the phrase? The evil
devil
you know. Yeah. Keep the devil you know. Whatever.
Okay.
It is.
You hold off on doing that. Number 22 is a +2 to his wisdom save. He's got to get
charisma.
Sorry, a charisma save. Oh, that's a good point. He has a +0 to his charisma save.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Teacher, do we have homework?
Why?
He was cute. Damn. I feel like he should have like a +1.
This is a guy that does puzzles for fun. He's got a zero charisma.
He's adorable. You do puzzles for fun, Brian.
And I have a zero charisma score. Okay, here we go. It's a natural 19. You see him get hit in the chest by this thing and pushes it back. Just so you guys know, also for these things, these guys don't have this ability all the time. Each turn, they'll re-roll a dice to try to like regenerate the ability, just so you know how it works mechanically. That's 1, 2, 3 of them. The last one is going to fly down and make a straight attack on number 22. You see it look down and it's going to scratch at him. Absolutely hits. It's 12 points of damage to number 22. Number 22 is not looking great. That is the Fear Wraith's turn. It is Boris's turn.
Boris!
Boris sees Natasha get possessed. He doesn't really have a thing for this.
Can Boris do an untrained exorcism check?
See, he does have a key empowered strike that like heals blinded, deafened, paralyzed, poisoned, or stunned. Yeah, I might, for flavor, let him give it a try.
An untrained exorcism check.
He, however, is going to run forward using all of his speed, 40 feet of movement, plus an additional 40 feet for his feline agility.
Be careful, Boris. They're ghosts. They'll possess you, mate.
Don't worry, Yaksha. I got this. He leaps, steps onto Natasha's shoulders, and springs straight up, going for the one up top and essentially like attacking down.
Yeah,
the one that is
Boris.
Currently attacking Sienny, he goes, is going to make 2 unarmed attacks and is going to do a flurry of blows. 11 plus 16 is 27. You guys see 4 unarmed strikes hit one of these wraiths. The one up top that was like menacing Sienny does, what did I just say? 27 points of damage. His attacks, as his fists are glowing, radiate magic, does a full 27 points of damage.
Even while possessed, Natasha is very proud.
You see this wraith is looking a little bit fucked up.
I'm sorry, a little bit after 27?
Is looking actually quite fucked up. Sorry. It's corporeal form, as it were, is beginning to like dissipate and fade a little bit as Boris is falling straight down. That, however, is his turn. Yaksha, it is you.
Cool. Yaksha is just not super stoked at the situation. Looks at number 2 and is like, Dontraxa number 2. Hey, man, if I'm going to help you, can you promise to take us to number 1 after we deal with this?
Go ahead and roll a persuasion check. Or intimidation, however you, you know, want to play it.
Cool. We're going to go, you said persuasion or intimidation?
I'll tell you, persuasion is an easier check for Don Taraxa. You
guys, I'm going to do persuasion. Mm-hmm. That is a 22.
As Don Taraxa is pulling out his rapier, preparing to run into the fray, you say this. He looks at you.
I cannot make these promises. I can bring your request to number one. That is the most I can do. But you help me defeat these creatures, you'll be helping to save the village. You'll be helping to prevent damage to the material plane. I promise you, those requests will be heard with a favorable ear and delivered with a favorable voice.
Works for me. And I take the old number two off my shoulders and I go, you wait here, little guy. Don't just close your eyes, I guess, if you're not going to fight.
Yeah, I'm a little sleepy. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try. And you see, he's like moving his hands. You see like a bit of spell energy is like popping on and off. You're not sure what necessarily he can do.
Just wait here for me and you can call me Captain.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Captain. Gotcha.
Amazing. Cool. I'm going to Hunter's Mark the least fucked up looking one.
You look over, your eyes train on the one that just like deflected off of number 22, attempting to possess him. And it's kind of like it hit him almost like deflected. It's flying a bit towards you guys.
Cool. And then I'm going to take all three of my attacks on that guy.
Cool.
Ooh, these are bad. Okay, does a... one's a dirty 20.
Hits.
Does a 15 hit?
15 hits.
Does a 14 hit?
14 hits.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be hopefully a good amount of damage. 1d8. And then Hunter's Mark is a d6. Cool. 16.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is a 10 plus 4, 14. Mm-hmm. And then this last one, I'm going to add the extra D8 to it from Dread Ambusher. And this one is, oh man, that's so disappointing. 6 plus 4, 14 again.
Okay, so that's a total of 44 points of damage?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Can I go under the balcony and like just shoot from those shadows of the balcony?
Yeah, you move and kind of like crouch down, taking up like a sniper's position, you know, back to the wall, putting yourself into a corner so that nothing can get to the side of you, nothing can get behind you. And you rapid fire three crossbow bolts. They fire into this thing. Pew, pew, pew. Is there any reason that your weapon attacks are magical?
No.
You hit this thing for 44 points of damage, but as the arrows hit, rather than see them digging into this thing, you see them hitting it, slowing a bit, and then passing through. These things are going to take half damage from all those attacks. So still 22 points of damage. You see this thing, you knocked off about half its hit points.
Nice.
You see this thing initially slow. It momentarily splits apart and then reconstitutes back together and then turns and looks towards you.
Oh, you piece of shit. that wasn't me. That was the sunflower. And I point to Andraxa.
Its eyes look at you and then look at Don Taraxa. Don Taraxa looks forward to you. Take pride in your work. And he is going to run forward. Unfortunately for him, he only has 25 feet of movement, so he's got to make a full dash to get into combat. But you see him taking up arms near number 22.
Quickly, we must protect this man. He is very close. He is very close to falling out of equilibrium. We must protect him. If he becomes a dread, this will be a much bigger problem. Your friend here, I believe she can handle herself for a little bit. This man is on the very brink of disaster.
And he takes a position to defend number 22 from the wraiths above and, if necessary, from Natasha.
Oh, God.
Gilly is going to... She runs forward. You see her similarly blink in and out of existence using her Misty Step. Pew, pew, flies there. Is going to make two attacks with her knives on that thing. That's one hit. Two fucking hits. Hell yeah. And these knives are... So she deals some psychic damage as well, is technically what her knives do. We just make sure these things are not immune or Healy's resistant.
Fucking up their minds.
So she does 14 points of damage.
Good job, Gilly.
You see Gilly runs to protect her captain. Boss, come on, snap out of it, boss. And just looks to you as she's stabbing into this thing that was attacking number 22. Top of the order, it is Natasha.
I mean, what can I do?
You are fully under the thrall of this thing.
Mm-hmm. So is this actually just your turn? you get to tell me what Natasha does?
It gives up and goes home.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this thing has full possession of your physical movements. Mm-hmm. Your ability to use your wild magic, I'm going to say, retains with you.
Mm-hmm.
So should you want to use that reaction or that bonus action, I'll leave that to you.
You mean I can use like my basically misty step, like I have control over that 30 feet of teleportation?
I'm going to make you roll for that, but mm-hmm. the reaction aspect to like change your wild magic surge, I'm going to let you use that at your disposal, essentially. Otherwise, this thing is going to look at Don Taraxa. I want you to make all of your attacks against Don Taraxa.
All right. Can I first roll to see if Natasha can control the teleport feature? And if she can, I basically just want to get 30 feet away from everyone.
Go ahead and roll this will be a contested charisma check.
Cool.
I'll tell you, you've got to beat a 17.
That means I have to roll a 19 or 20. Cool. Great. This is going to be so good. It's easy. A 2, so that's a 0.
No. So you're unable to control
I
this.
I just get even closer to Dr. Axa.
You move forward under control of this wraith and make maximum damage attacks against Don Taraxa.
So I guess that would mean I have to do two-handed Warhammer?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the first one is a 10.
10 total?
Yeah. I rolled a 2, so that didn't do great. And then 8 plus 6 is 14.
14, both misses.
Oh, wow. I forgot that he has an insane AC.
He has a pretty good AC. As the first one misses, he dodges out of the way. As the second one misses, he parries your blow and has a riposte attack, is going to attack against you. That's a 23 to hit.
Yeah. When he hits me, is he also hitting the wraith? Or is it like once with the wild animal of like once my hit points get to 0, the wraith reappears and is at like whatever health it was at?
You feel the rapier dig into you as you take 6 points of damage, halved to 3, okay. And then an additional 7 points of damage that is not halved from poison.
Okay.
As you feel this stab into you, you feel the wraith inside you almost move around the blow. The wraith takes no damage. It essentially has total cover and can be unaffected except by some kind of magic.
Okay.
You miss these 2 attacks. Don Taraxa looks at you and goes, I know you are strong. You have a strong mind of a captain. You must fight it as best you can.
Can I like talk? Can I answer?
No. At the end of your turn, I need you to make 2 fear die checks.
That's a 5 and a 6.
Okay. You continue to steal your mind as flashes of these terrible images appear around you, but nothing that connects with your mind. Sienny, it is your turn.
I'm not doing much help even though I look cool as hell as a giant bird.
You are gaining our respect. Even more than you already had, but yes. Yeah.
That's a pretty dope bird, mate.
Thank you. I don't know how does a condor sound. I think I need to fly in to 22 and do, per Don Terex's warning, like 22 is in a very bad spot, so I should probably fly down and do greater restoration on him and try and save him, no?
I feel like that's a smart
move. So I think I'll just kind of nosedive to him, shed the wild shape, and then touch him for greater restoration, if that's doable.
What if you nosedived, picked him up, brought him somewhere else, and then greater restoration to him?
I like that idea better. Can I pick him up?
I'll let you make a strength check.
Go
sure.
into the jungle Ooh. Gym.
I think only because he is a halfling. Yeah, go ahead and make a strength check. I'm going to say it's DC... I'm going to say this DC 18. So you got to roll a 16 or higher on the die.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
What'd you get?
I for the listeners at home, I just kissed my die. I got a 21, Brian.
Yeah. Ooh, baby. Nice. Your dice love you today.
I would like to pick him up with my talons and scoot out of there.
Yeah,
like
with that.
Truly like a condor out of hell.
I am totally going to let you do that. You pick him up, grab him with your talons as like your object interaction. You fly out of there. As you do, the one that attacked before is going to make an opportunity attack against him.
Miss me.
he does hit.
No.
Not you, but number 22.
Oh, no. Shit.
14, 15, 16, 17 points of damage. You feel number 22 fall unconscious in your talons.
No. Can I use my keen sight and smell to pinpoint an insecurity on the wraith that just attacked and make him feel a little self-conscious?
Or them? Yeah, sure. Or go ahead. go ahead and roll perception check with, or an insight check with advantage.
It's really insecure about his tendrils.
That worked so well. An 18.
Yeah, you see this guy. There's a bunch of like wisps behind him that he's clearly trying to hide that are a little bit like stringier than the wisps up front. It's very much like a male pattern baldness type thing. It's a wraith comb over is what's happening right now.
nice wispy strands, dummy.
Something I'm sensitive about.
You know, I would just cut him. You know, at this point, just cut him off. You're not fooling anyone. It's weirder to try and save him.
Doesn't it kind of work?
No, I mean, like, for some people, it does. I mean, like, you ain't one of them.
Hell yeah. So that's just your movement and your option. You still have an action, bonus action.
Yeah, I would like to carry him to some semblance of safety, still nearby, but like away from the action, shed my form and do greater restoration.
Okay, I'll say you want to carry him up to like the second floor balcony. Or you want to carry him out of the building?
I would say out of the building, like on the front steps.
Okay,
so like close enough nearby that we can regroup, but out of the...
With 40 feet of movement, you're not able to get out of the building because he was like right in the center, 50 feet away from the door. So you can get him 10 feet away from the door and then drop.
I'll do that. Yeah, I guess just, yeah, outside of that middle fighting area, like if there's like boxes or barrels.
Like, okay. Yeah, you drop him.
Like just some like cover. Yeah.
Yeah. You drop him behind some cover. Yaksha, you see this happening, like, you know, cover fire. You drop your form as you lay him on the ground near the entranceway.
And I'll do greater. I'll touch him for greater restoration at fifth level.
You touch him with greater restoration. You see the tendrils of dread and this black smoke coming off and begin to diminish. What this technically does, it moves his fear dice up from a D4, where it was currently at, to a D6.
Good job, Big Bed.
So you see the hollow of his eyes begin to fill in a little bit, and he is further from the precipice of falling into dread.
He gets some retinol.
I will say that that was my last fifth level spell, so I can't use greater restoration on Natasha. I just realized
this is okay. Natasha has been through worse.
Damn,
she was stoned, remember?
Damn,
this is what Natasha is for. She beef.
Yeah, Natasha's been through the ringer.
Yeah.
You end your turn there. It is the Wraith's turn. I'm gonna say, since Natasha, the one inside Natasha is gonna essentially just act on her initiative.
Okay.
The one that Boris was currently attacking is going to look at Boris.
Can I like give the help action, or is that like blocked with the possession
you
as
are
well?
Technically incapacitated,
okay.
Which means you can take no actions, bonus actions, or reactions. The reaction aspect I'm leaving to you because it is like a wild magic.
A wild magic thing. Okay, cool.
The one up by Boris is going to, it's going to stare directly at him with its horrifying visage and is going to try to invoke a frightened effect. So he's going to make a wisdom save. I believe he actually makes with advantage. He just succeeds, but anyone else who is looking up also needs to make this save. So that would be, I think, just Yaksha. Needs to make a DC 13 wisdom save.
You can do it, Yaksha.
That's a 26.
Okay, you steal your mind against this thing. You are also immune to this horrifying visage from that particular one as well.
Yeah. So you're immune from two of them now at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
The next one's going to see if it can redo its possession. It cannot.
I like that you're using the creepy, like, black and gray. Yeah, the ghostly dice. Yeah.
It is going to fly forward and up and is going to be 20 feet above Sienny. Sienny, it's going to look down to you and... and is going to attempt this same horrifying visage on you. I need you to make a DC 13 wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Oh, hell yeah. A 26.
You shake off the possible effect. The last one is the one that was looking over at Yaksha. It sees Sienny next to the unconscious form of number 22. It is going to spin its head around, seeing the wisps of dread coming off of it. Smells it like it's scenting it. You see the wisps fly into its nose, and it uses that trail, flies forward, and is going to dive directly into number 22. Sienny, as it flies past you, you are welcome to make an opportunity attack if you want.
Yes, please. So with my scimitar, I will slash him. Ooh, yeah, does 26 hit?
Absolutely hits. Go ahead and roll some damage.
Hell yeah. A 7.
Okay, 7 is going to be a halve to 3. And you slash through it as it essentially like gets hit by your scimitar, gets split by the scimitar, reconstitutes, and flies into number 22. I'm not going to have number 22 just fail this automatically, but he's going to make this save with disadvantage.
Mmm.
So it's charisma saving throw. He has plus 0 to his save. That's a natural 17. So that's a success. And that's a natural 9. This thing flies into number 22. You see him spasm even in his unconscious state, because unconsciousness is the perfect time for fear and nightmares to take hold. He's going to roll his fear dice, which is now up to a D6 because of that greater restoration, twice. That's a 3. And that's another 3. You see him spasming on the ground. You see the sweat on his brow beginning to drip. You see his eyes begin to flicker as he is in the throes of a nightmare that may very well become worse.
As Yaksha sees the ghost like run away, he yells, yeah, you better run.
you see a little tendril of ghost hand comes out and just flicks you off. And it comes back in.
Coward.
That is going to be Boris's turn. Boris is going to make... you know what? Boris is going to try something. Boris is going to fly down to Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Natasha, don't take this personally. I don't know if this is going to work. This might hurt, but it also might make you feel better. So, like, sorry. And he is going to pummel Natasha. He is going to attempt to use his physician's touch ability to drive this specter out.
Yeah, Boris.
I'll say this is not a active part of the feature, but I think it's just fucking cool. So why not?
Yeah.
He is going to make 4 unarmed strikes, so 2 regular attacks and then flurry of blows against Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
That is 19, which hits, definitely hits. Definitely hits. 16 hit?
16 hits, yeah.
He's going to do 4 attacks on you. I'm going to roll the damage first.
Cool. This is like the one time in her life that Natasha's really excited that Boris is picking a fight with her.
Right.
She's like, I will let you hit me.
13. 13 plus 16 is 29, half to 14.
Damn, Boris. I've never seen you that happy before in your life.
He's just like giddy as he's like, ha, 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 punching her in the face.
I've always dreamed of this.
Yes, because it's the one time that Natasha just kind of like, oh, I guess she has no control of her body. I was going to say she's just letting him hit her because she's like, maybe this will help. So what does the physician I keep wanting to call him the physician's assistant. What does the physician's assistant feat do?
He is going, physician's assistant, physician's touch is essentially, he's going to attempt to essentially like expel this thing from you. It's not part of what this thing is as written. Uh-huh. So I'm going to have him make a contested charisma check against this specter.
Okay. Do you want me to roll for the specter? Or are you going to roll for
Why don't you go ahead and roll for the specter? Specter has a +3
okay.
to charisma.
Boris has to beat an 8 +3 and 11.
Okay. Boris has +2 to his charisma.
Come on, Boris.
It's natural 1.
No, Boris!
Oh.
He's just really freaked out about the fact that he has to beat up his sister and that she's like kind of okay with it. Where he's like, this feels unnatural.
Boris is just looking at Natasha. Sorry, Natasha.
He's like waiting for the blowback, and because it's not coming, it's throwing him off his game.
He's essentially like looking for key points on Natasha's person to try to find one to like expel this thing. You feel as it's getting hit, though, the specter begins to kind of like shrink and move inside of you. Uh-huh. You feel like this could work, but he's going to have to hit on one of these.
Right. Okay.
So you're going to be hurting until it works.
This is what Natasha is for.
That is Boris. Yaksha, it's your turn.
Dope. I'll take my two attacks on that guy.
Hell yeah. You move into position.
Ooh, one's an 18.
Hits.
One's a 13.
Hits. I go and roll both damage.
Cool. 15.
Okay.
The second one.
15 halved to 7.
11.
And 11 halved to 5. This ghost is looking very hurt. This specter is looking very hurt as you fire two more arrows through it.
I look at number two and I'm like, it'd be great if you could help out or something. Maybe hit one of them.
I don't know. Go and roll a persuasion check. I'll say DC 15. If you beat it, you'll give him advantage on his attempt to like regain his composure.
I want him to like turn out to be a crazy powerful wizard or something.
Ooh, that's a 9.
Oh, damn.
Okay, so he'll still roll. He's still like coming to, so his check's getting easier and easier, but you didn't help him too much.
Damn it.
He just looks at you and he's just kind of like, you see him casting like cantrips in his hand, but just kind of like tossing them back and forth between his hands. Almost like tossing a little ball of magic.
Man, this is crazy here.
this place
yeah,
is wild.
No kidding.
It is Don Tarax's turn. He's in a tough position. The only thing that he could easily attack is Natasha.
This is what Natasha is for.
Yeah, he's going to look at Natasha. He looks at Boris and goes,
I am very sorry about this, but this is... We can hurry up and hopefully that will help get the thing out. This is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. I'm sorry.
Ooh, that's a nat 20.
Oh, shit.
A 2, which misses. And a 19, which definitely hits. You take 24 halved to 12 points of piercing damage. And then you take... You're going to take 66 poison damage. 7, 8, 9, 10, and 20 points of poison damage, which 20. Is not halved.
Holy shirt. Natasha is looking pretty bad for the first time.
Again, I am very sorry. This is, hopefully we can work this out between you and I. I thought we were getting along pretty well. This is going to damage our relationship, but, we'll see what happens. Sorry.
To be honest, Natasha in her head is, she didn't necessarily respect that he could, like, she knew he's a good fencer or whatever, but the fact that he just did 20 plus 12, was it 32 points of damage? She's like, I respect this man. This is impressive.
Yeah, he knows all the points to hit. Gilly is going to make some attacks against the one that Boris was just attacking. It's going to hit. 9 have to 4. 10 have to 5. So that's 9 plus 14. She stabs into this ghost and tears it asunder. As she stabs into this wraith, you see it get ripped apart by her daggers. As the psychic energy pulses through, you see it flash into like a million different images for a moment and then explodes. She looks down at the psychic glowing daggers in her hands and goes, God, I love these things.
Billy, say something cool. Did you say something cool?
Yes.
Damn it.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
We got to workshop it. I get so excited for the kill.
We've been workshopping for 5 fights now, Gilly.
Number 22 is going to make a death saving throw. That is a failure. And number 2 is going to try to like kind of come out of his stupor and join the fight. Is unable to succeed thus far.
Freaking previous number 2.
Natasha.
Duh.
You feel the ghost that is compelling you inside begin to force your legs to move and then run towards number 22. Boris is going to make a attack of opportunity against you. 14 definitely hits, and he's going to try that same physician's
punch.
My
armor class is 15.
So it's a natural 14 plus.
Oh, okay, cool, good. Stuff. I mean, I actually want him to hit. I just wanted to make sure we're playing by the rules.
Yes, no, sorry, natural 14. Teacher. he's going to do you 5 points of damage.
Okay, halved or
halved.
So that's 2?
2 points of damage. And he's going to make a contested strength check against the Spectre. Go ahead and roll a charisma saving throw for the Spectre.
And it's plus 3, right?
Plus 3. Or a charisma check.
Oh, fuck. That's 22?
22? Okay, he's got to roll a nat 20.
Oh, Boris.
Rolled a natural 5. He punches you in the back. unable to expel the specter.
Okay.
Don Tarax is also going to make 1 attack as you go by. 18 is going to hit.
Nice. I got a whole plan if I get down, guys, so don't worry about it.
You take 12 halved to 6 piercing damage.
Okay.
And 4 poison damage not halved.
Okay.
You run forward as you begin to see flashes of images in front of you begin to change and morph. You see number 22 on the ground, wisps of dread coming on top of him, and you see Cieni over top of him attempting to help. Mm-hmm. You feel your arms rise up to attack Cieni.
Sorry, Cieni. Cieni, sorry.
No. Cieni, sorry. Sorry.
So again, I have to do the one that would do the most damage.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I rolled a nat 20.
No.
And you've got to make 2 attacks.
Oh, no. That happens to me sometimes. It's actually a 0. Oh. It's like how you write a 2 on a calendar.
Yeah.
So it's 0-2. Yeah,
it's like the German 9 looks like a G.
Yeah, sorry. So, glad we figured that one out.
And then 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Does 13 hit?
That my armor class is 13, so.
So that hits.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So go ahead and roll the regular damage one first, and then we'll do your brutal critical one.
Okay, so the 13 hits for 8 points of damage.
Okay, so standing 8 points of damage on the regular hit. And then you see this Warhammer come. I could roll brutal critical, which is 3 damage die.
Jesus Christ.
Brutal critical? 3. Sounds like a subgenre of metal.
Plus 4. 17.
17 plus your rage damage.
Plus 3.
It's 20.
It's 20, so 20 points of damage.
So then you take an additional 20 points of damage.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I had 9 temp points, so that helped a little bit. All right, so now 18.
You get blasted by Natasha's Warhammer as you see her eyes are flickering, almost like getting encapsulated by this like specter of dread and these like black wisps coming out of her eyes. At the end of your turn, I need you to roll your fear dice twice.
Sure.
Ow.
It's a 7. I really thought that was 1 and I was panicking. And a 2. Holy shit.
You are again able to steal your mind as you see terrible images flick across, but none of the ones. You essentially feel this thing trying to burrow into your mind, trying to find your fears, and you keep a solid brick wall around what you know to be your greatest fear.
Oh, Natasha's cracking.
Cieni, it is your turn.
You okay, big guy?
You know, Ben better. I don't know what I can do to help. 22 to get out of this, especially with greater restoration.
I'll let you make a arcana check.
Oh, yeah. Please, please, please. That actually would be very helpful. So many things just happened. I hit my lamp. That scared me. It's a little warm, too, so I thought I got burnt. My arcana is a 23.
You have seen your greater restoration seems to help this process. There is something else you have seen in the recent past that also helps expel dread.
Oh.
There's drinking joy,
the
drinking, right?
The drinky.
And we're in a factory where it's all over
where
the place.
It's readily available, no?
You look over and you
see...
I completely
forgot this is an option.
You see tons of... you see tons of beakers and tubes and titration systems. And you see a small batch off in the corner on the other side of the factory that is a large glass vial of pure joy.
Ooh, what I would like to do is, can I run and grab it, or will that leave me prone?
Is it like holy water, where if we throw it at the ghosts and they get like sprinkled with it, it'll...
You can certainly find out.
Diffuse them.
The power of joy compels you.
I'll say you can definitely run and get it. It's currently like in a big ass vat. And it's on like the other side of this area. So it's like kind of far away. So like basically I'm just saying you won't be able to run and get it and come back on this turn.
On this turn. I'll...
Can you wild shape into something that can make you run there and back in one turn?
Can I, Ryan? I was also going to try and... I could also try and animate a giant insect and have them just like have a giant spider bring it to me.
Do that. Get a mixologist spider back.
A mixologist can make a wonderful cocktail.
Yeah, I want the mixologist to be back.
They'll be so eager to get it for you.
Okay, so what are you doing?
Oh yeah, I would like to at fourth level I'll cast giant insect and animate a spider that is near that vat and communicate them through the magic to load it. And bring it over to me.
Okay, giant spider. So you have to conjure it within 30 feet of you. It'll be able to get to the thing on its turn. You look up in the in this crazy mess of glassworks and pipery. You see a lone spider web with like a little fly in it. The fly is going,
help me!
And a spider's about to eat it. And all of a sudden, you cast a giant insect, and the spider gets a massive. And you hear the fly
just
go.
Dies afraid.
Sorry, bud.
The spider looks at you. Oh my god. So much to work with here.
No, okay. No, like time out, bud. No, we just need I need that. Go over there and bring that here, and then we can talk about mixology.
Totally. I'm gonna make you up a great drink. And it starts scurrying over. You see it get to the container of joy.
To make him walk faster, I meant while he's walking away, I go, oh, I got to tell you about a gastropub I went to.
Oh, my God. I'll be
they're
right
doing
there.
They're doing New American different.
We do things a little differently here.
It is the ghost turn. The ghost within Natasha is just going to hold firm, standing over top of number 22. You see your eyes look down as it forces you to, and you see number 22 beginning to like his eyes are clearly like deep in a nightmare, like REM sleep. The ghost inside number 22 is going to essentially use its turn to have him make his have him roll his fear dice. He's going to roll a d6 twice. That is a 6.
Yeah, number 22.
No, I'm going to roll this ghostly die.
Why? So mean.
That is a 2. Number 22 holds firm. One of the ghosts is dead. The last one.
We killed a ghost?
Yes. Gilly killed a ghost.
Oh, yeah, Gilly.
Gilly killed Wraith.
Good for Gilly. Second kill for Gilly.
It's like a third or fourth, honestly. I don't even know anymore.
The last one is going to look at Sienny, follow Sienny's eyes over, and is going to see the spider playing with some joy. And is going to fly towards the spider.
If we get a spider possessed by dread, I will personally freak out.
It does not.
Yeah, this sucks.
It does not have its possession ability available. It's already tried and failed.
Thank God.
It is going to, you know what it's going to do? It's actually going to attempt to frighten it. The spider has to make a wisdom saving throw. It has a plus zero. It's going to beat a 13. Wow, spider got a 14.
Yay, spider!
If this thing had succeeded, it wouldn't have been able to move towards the ghost. It would have been basically stuck where it was.
No.
But spider succeeded. Spider like scoops a bottle of joy or like a little like, you know, vial, looks at the specter. The specter flies and sees a in its face a like giant fly swatter. And the spider goes, honey, I'm way bigger than a fly swatter. And starts running towards back towards you guys. Boris is going to run over to Natasha, is going to make one of his physician strikes. It's going to be a contested charisma check.
And it's my charisma, or I'm sorry, it's the ghost.
The ghost charisma.
So it's plus three. Okay. It's a 17.
17. He's a plus two, so he's got to get a 15 or higher. Natural one.
Boris. You can do it, Boris.
He can just beat the crap out of me.
Can do this on each of his attacks, so he's going to try it again.
All right, cool. Should I roll first? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. He's just burning key points.
A 9.
9?
You can beat this one, Boris.
He got a natural 10, plus 2, 12.
Yeah!
You feel your brother look at you, spin you around, go, sorry, Natasha. And like fucking Doctor Strange astral projection, he socks you in the gut and you feel this wraith thrown out of you. He looks up to you, grabs you like behind the neck in like what for a moment appears like a brotherly embrace, and then pulls you down, jumps on your shoulders, and jumps up to make his final two attacks on the ghost itself.
Boys.
Let's go.
Natural 4 misses, 19 hits, however.
Can I,
natural 4 hits. He has a plus 8. Hits on both.
I was about to say, can I for like give him the help action by basically bending down and then leaping back up with him to give him advantage to get hit, but he hit both anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, you feel him pull you down. You bend down, launch him up.
Yeah.
He's gonna make two attacks. 7 plus 8 is 15. Takes a full 15 points of damage. These magical hits hit it as if it had a fully corporeal body. You see it begin to flicker and shit. It is having a difficult time maintaining its form. It is very hurt. Yaksha, it is you.
Yaksha looks at Natasha with his like an arrow drawn. If you're the real Natasha, how many lovers are in my mother's picture above your bed?
Oh my God, there are so many lovers, but you know who's not in there? Dontorexa.
Damn right. All right. That's Natasha. I'm going to go for the ghost that was trying to get our spider friend.
From across the room, you're like sniping this thing. Go ahead and make two attacks.
They both hit 22 and 27.
Hell yeah. Roll some damage.
Can I use my bonus action to put a hunter's mark on that bad boy?
Yeah.
I'll roll these. That is a 11.
11 half to 5.
And then that one is 13.
13 half to 6 is exactly what you needed. You fire. First arrow passes through. The second one.
But as I draw it back, that second arrow, I go, hey, ghost thing, you like Imagine Dragons? The band that's canon in this world?
Huh? it turns around its head as the first arrow passes through. It looks at you and goes,
Well, imagine dragging these nuts across your face. And then I shoot my last arrow.
You see a bunch of like fears fly in front of its face. And then finally, it just flashes a mirror and it sees your face in its own reflection. And then you shatter the mirror as it is expelled. The spider behind it goes,
hell yes.
Ooh, very nice. All right, let's go.
And I look at Gilly and I'm like, see, that's how you do that. Just do that next time.
Well, it's easy for you. You're a dragonborn. You can just use dragony's nuts for anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just saying, you got a cheat code. That's it.
All right, we'll work on it. I'll write some stuff down for you and I'll send it your way. again.
Don Taraxa is up next. He's going to make two attacks on the one that was just expelled from Natasha. Or sorry, he's going to make three attacks on the one that just expelled from Natasha. That hits, hits, and hits. 15 is 24, halved to 12. 18, so 30 points of damage.
Don Taraxa is beefy.
Oh shit, these things are immune to poison damage. So it just takes 12 points of damage.
Oh.
Sorry. I think they probably took some extra damage, so you guys got some help. This specter, this fear specter, is looking extremely fucked up as Don Taraxa stabs into it. Get back down here! He's like jumping up. He's climbed up on top of Natasha and is using her height to like stab at this thing.
She was cool with it when it was her brother, but now she's like, I'm for now okay, but like this isn't a thing.
I'm sorry, I thought this is what we were doing. This is just convenient for this point. We are working together. We are friends, you know. Don't worry, don't look at the stab marks on your chest. You don't remember that, right?
No, I definitely remember.
I think you're remembering incorrectly.
We'll talk about this later.
Hell yeah. It is number 22. Number 22 is going to make a death saving throw. Succeeds. However, on his turn, he's going to roll his fear die twice. First one is a 6. That is a success. Second one is a 5. That is a success. Oh. He is holding on.
22.
I think he's rolled 6 times now. By, you know, 10, you should have rolled at this point. Natasha, you are up.
Oh, Natasha is excited. Can I feel like I should have done this before, but with Boris hitting me, basically I want to reroll my wild magic, but I can only do that immediately after I take damage or fail a saving throw. Can we say I do that like at the beginning of my turn or no?
Sure. I'll let you
do
that.
Stretching it a little bit, but
I'll let you do that as like Boris hits you.
Okay, cool. Like as the thing gets expelled from me.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So what is that? D8. That's a 7.
As you get hit from Boris, the thing gets expelled from you. You feel the wild magic course through you and you try to grab onto one of these new effects and you feel all around your feet, very much like something you've seen Yaksha do, flowers and vines begin to grow up around you. The ground within 15 feet of you is now difficult terrain for your enemies.
Amazing. Can we, for flavor's sake, say that it kind of resembles an asparagus field?
Yeah, it 100% just looks like a goofy-ass asparagus field.
Amazing.
Just asparagus sticking straight up.
All right, cool. Can this at all affect the wraith that is possessing 22?
Not really.
Okay, because he's already like in him.
Difficult terrain just lowers movement and these things can fly.
Cool. So this isn't that great. All right. Anyway, I'm going to use my Warhammer to go after the one that was possessing me.
Go for it.
That is a 16 plus 8, 24.
Hits.
Or 22. And a nat 20.
Absolutely.
Let's
hits.
Go.
Nice. All right, cool. So the first one hits for 7 plus 3, 10 damage.
10 damage, half to 5.
All right, cool. And then 2, 3, 9. So there was 14 plus 4 is 18 plus 3 is 21.
You rear back as this thing's expelled from you. Your brother jumps off of you. Don Taraxa climbs on top of you. Stab, stab, punch, punch. You swing around. You come around two-handed Warhammer directly over top. How do you finish him?
Ah! Natasha is gonna look him in his hollow face and say, I fear nothing, but you should fear me. And then I smash him through his stupid face.
You begin to see this thing swirling around, trying to find your fear in a last ditch effort, and then expelled in front of you.
Yeah!
That was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Natasha sort of like glances over at Yaksha, not actually going to ask for approval on her killing blow line, but she kind of is like, you think this is cool, yes?
Yaksha's giving like two thumbs up, like,
Hey, boss, that was pretty good. See, I didn't have like a fear thing loaded up. Yeah, it's already been established in your character that like you aren't afraid of anything. I feel like the only thing that's really been established is I'm artistic and I've got glowy hands. Maybe there's something in there, you know, glowy hands area.
Gilly, you will find it. It is. I believe in you.
Glow up, maybe. I don't know. There's something there.
I like this glow up.
The spider is on its way back. So currently the only enemy that is currently around is the one inside of number 22. The spider is on its way back. As it makes its way back, it has 6 feet of movement. It's going to dash back. But between then and now, it's this fear wraith's turn. It is going to force number 22 to roll his fear die twice. That is a 2, which is a success. That is a 2.
Oh my God.
Which is a success.
22.
Nice.
The spider gets back, delivers to Sienny the draught of pure joy. Sienny, what do you do?
I immediately feed it to 22. I raise the hand raise his head as carefully as possible and take it to his lips and whatever kind of vessel I can find around me.
It was delivered to you in a frosted glass with cinnamon around the rim.
If this was late in getting to me, I would have been so pissed. But the fact that you were fast,
it's worth the wait. I mean, we work hard on this type of thing.
Okay.
Spider hands it to you. It's like the spider has added web exterior to the outside and stuff, so it's a cool design. You force this draught of joy down number 22's gullet. You see it fall down. You see his eyes begin to still as all of a sudden this wraith almost pulsing out of him in different bits and then flies outward, looking back towards you guys. That was Sienny's turn. It is the ghost's turn. It rolls. It is able to regenerate its possession ability.
Jesus,
it rolled a 6.
Christ.
I shit you not. I'm sorry.
Is it coming for Natasha?
It is able to regenerate its possession ability. You look out for a moment. It is going to attempt to fly back into number 22.
Mm.
He's going to roll his save with disadvantage. The first is a 10 and the second is a 9, which is not enough to get it out. It flies back into number 22.
As it's coming past us, do we get attacks of opportunity?
Ooh.
It flew out and then it flew in. Can we get something?
I'll let you all make some attacks of opportunity on it. Anyone who's within melee range. So that'd be you, Sienny.
Could I throw, per Natasha's recommendation, could I throw some joy on it? Like holy water?
You know what I'll let you do? I will let you use your reaction to essentially try to attack this thing with joy. So use whatever is remaining and splash it on it, which will give number 22 an additional chance to save against this thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Go ahead and roll an arcana check to attempt. I think the better you get, the more helpful this will be.
Nat 20, baby. Nat 20.
Ooh. 24.
Wow. Okay. All right. I got it.
Yeah,
I got a roll
Ryan,
24.
Wow, indeed.
Shit. Okay.
You came to play.
This fear specter flies out. You see its body comes back together and it flies back down towards number 22. You splash this joy directly in its face. It gets all over number 22. As it attempts to pierce into number 22, it is deflected outwards as it hits this joy almost like a shield and flies off. It's going to retain its possession ability since this essentially bypassed the save. But that is its turn. It essentially tried and failed. It is going to use its movement to attempt to fly away. As it uses its movement to fly away, anyone who wants can make a attack of opportunity.
I definitely want to do that.
So Boris and Don Traxa will. Okay. Don Traxa misses.
I got a dirty 20.
Go ahead and roll some damage.
Ooh.
15.
15 halved to 7. Boris did 6. Unhalved. This ghost flies up. This thing is very much on its last legs as it flies up into the rafters, looking around, beginning to like curl itself around in the glassworks. As that happens, however, Yaksha, it is your turn.
Cool. I'm going to take some attacks on this guy.
I'm going to say it has, as it goes up into the glassworks attempting to hide, it's going to have 3/4 cover, which is +5 to its AC. So its AC is now 16.
Cool. One that's a 21. One of those is a 15, but I can reroll that one. 18.
Yeah, both hit.
Yeah.
8, 9, 10, 11. 13.
You see this fear wraith streak off into the distance as it is deflected by this joy and expelled out of number 22. It flies off into the rafters, this crazy maze of glass works and pipery. You look, tracing it with your crossbow, finding the moments where it passes between these gaps of these openings of these crisscross glass. You fire. What cool thing does Yaksha say?
Yeah!
As Yaksha releases that second arrow, he goes, "Hey, hey, Gilly, watch this one. Hey, ghost, you like apples?
Hmm."
And then he goes, "I fucked your mother." And then, and he goes,
"What?"
And then Yaksha turns to Gilly and goes, "My mom taught me that one."
This thing explodes in a explodes with the with the psychic damage done from such a harsh Yamama joke. Gilly looks at you and goes, "Man, that choice. All right, I'm gonna use that one. That one seems non-specific. I can use that."
All yours, Gilly, all yours.
You guys look over and you see these fear wraiths have been dispelled. Number 22 no longer in immediate danger of falling under their thrall, though they tried very, very hard to have him do so. You see him unconscious on the ground. I assume someone goes over and like makes a medicin check, stabilizes him.
I feel like Boris would, yeah.
Boris comes over, hits him with one of his punches, kills him for 8 points of damage. You see number 22.
Oh.
Looks over and sees Natasha and kind of, oh, shit, like backs away for a moment. Sees all of you guys. All of you are pretty imposing figures, with maybe the exception of Sieni, who's a little bit professorial. And number two is a goddamn sunflower. Number two looks at number 22.
"I think we still have some work to do, you and I."
And you see there are still like wisps of this. There's still wisps of this dread and this black smoke kind of coming off of him.
"We will take you to get calibrated now, no?"
Number 22 looks back and goes,
"No, don't let him take me. Please, don't let him take me."
"He can be calibrated here, no? This is factory. There is joy here."
"I don't care where he's going to take me. Don't let me drink any of that stuff."
"Why not?
That you want to stay here forever? Look what happened to her."
And he looks out the window and you see number 10 is like walking nearby taking notes. He points directly towards her.
"I don't want to drink any of it."
"Mate, I think you have to drink it, but I think you can still leave if you get a boat and get out of here."
"I don't do you guys have tokens that can get you out of here?"
"The fuck do you mean tokens? What? Number two, what does this guy mean, tokens?
What does tokens mean?
Are you talking about the brass ring?
Have you found it?" "Yes, have you found this brass ring?"
Natasha. Fuck. She just repeats the question.
"Are you talking about brass ring?"
As you repeat the question, you hear number two kind of looks at you, clicks his pocket watch again, allowing the village to restart. You hear the village come back to life, and off quiet in the distance, you hear the sounds of a band warming up. And that's where we'll end for the episode.
No, grow up.
Oh my God, I knew it. I knew it.
I hate this.
I'm having, never in my life have I been so confused about what is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I do not know who to trust.
Well, we were told.
And what implications?
Oh, we were told explicitly not to trust number two.
But number two's changed so many hands.
I think it's like a possession thing. I think it doesn't matter that it's Don Taraxa who it's we just, love.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't love him, but.
I guess we'll find out next time.
Are we even like halfway done with this stupid campaign? Are we halfway? where are we?
We are 1/8 finished with the campaign.
I'm running out of jokes, man. I'm running out of jokes for my killing blows.
We'll workshop.
Oh, man, that was so good. I love it.
That was fun.
I love it.
That was a fun battle.
I love it and I hate it.
I got to turn into a vulture or a concord.
The Concorde. You turned into a high-speed plane.
Turned into the discontinued Concorde.
They're bringing it back, baby.
They're bringing it back?
They're talking about it.
No, good for the Concorde. Tune in next time to see how this all shakes out and see if we can find out who, indeed, can be trusted.
Oh, God.
Bye-bye, everybody.
No one. Goodbye.